Okay, reading in Jeremiah chapter 13, 12th verse. Got your Bibles open with me. Jeremiah was a great, great prophet. As a matter of fact, it is believed that he took the Ark of the Covenant away and hid it when they went down to Babylon. You've heard of the weeping prophet. The Bible said, he that goeth forth sowing in tears shall doubtless come rejoicing, and that bringing in the sheaves. Reading from this passage of Scripture, it said, therefore thou shalt speak unto them this word, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, every bottle shall be filled with wine, and they shall say unto thee, do we not certainly know that every bottle shall be filled with wine? Then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings that sit upon David's throne, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with drunkenness. And I will dash them one against another, even the fathers and the sons together, saith the Lord. I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy them. Hear ye, and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God, before he caused darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while ye look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death, and make it gross darkness. But if ye will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Say unto the king and to the queen, humble yourself, sit down, for your principality shall come down, even the crown of your glory. The cities of the south shall be shut up, and none shall open them. Judah shall be carried away captive. All of it shall be wholly carried away captive. Lift up your eyes and behold them that come from the north. Where is the flock that was given thee, thy beautiful flock? What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? For thou hast taught them to be captains, and as chiefs over thee. Shall not sorrow take thee as a woman in travail? And if thou say in thine heart, wherefore come these things upon thee? For the greatness of thine iniquity are thy skirts discovered, and thy heels made bare. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Therefore will I scatter them as the stubble that passeth away by the wind of the wilderness. This is thy lot, the portion of thy measures from me, saith the Lord, because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Therefore will I discover thy skirts upon thy face, that thy shame may appear. I have seen thine adulteries and thy neighing, the lewdness of thy whoredom, and thine abominations on the hills and the fields. Woe unto thee, O Jerusalem! Will thou not be made clean? When shall it once be? You know, speaking of these things, he says here to warn the queens, the kings, the rulers, the presidents, the leaders, the celebrities, the statesmen, the dignitaries, warn them. They are not in charge. The ministry is in charge. The prophets of God are in charge. Though they have a place in the world, and though they have great education, and though they have college degrees, and though many people be billionaires, yet they're not in charge. We, as the ministers of God, we are in charge of the whole earth. We're in charge of the government. We're in charge of everything. Though they suppress us, and though they kill out God's people, and though they drive them, we are the true government, the legislative powers of right, and the things that should be comes from the church, not from Congress. So then, he said to warn them. They're not to warn us, though they do warn us all the time. And as I say, they suppress us and they eat us up. The Bible said, who is this that eat my people like bread? But nevertheless, the Bible said we ought to warn them because we are the ones that are in power and in charge. God said concerning the prophet, I have set thee over the nations, not just over a little nation or over a nation like America. That's not enough for God. He said, I've set thee over the world, that is over the nations, that ye should plant and ye should pluck up and that ye should tear down. So then we are in charge. No one else, no one in the world is in charge but us. No one. Everyone has to listen to us. From the president down to the garbage man to the pulpit. Everyone. Because we are over the nations to pluck up or to plant. And the powers of rebellion that's in individuals creates an individuality as to something that is you get a repercussion from it. It's rebellious. And they will not submit. They will not submit, whether it be individuals, whether it be kings, whether it be queens, whether it be the law or whatever. They're arrogant. They're self-willed. And like I spoke of that man this morning in the vision that's on the campground that's in that kind of condition, was one of the most horrible situations I've ever seen. So touchy that he was trying to subdue me to get me under the influence of his feelings that he might maneuver me and that I might never say any little thing to cross him. I tell you, he come to the wrong place, folks. He came to the wrong place. Sure as you live. But anyway, we are the ministry. Ye are the children of God. Ye are sons of God, daughters of God, which means that you own everything. Everything. Whatever he is, that is Christ, so are we in him. And as to his wealth, we are heirs and joint heirs, which means whatever he owns, we own it. So then ye are God's people, and ye are God's government, and ye are God's rule in the earth, and all people have to listen to you. Now, I don't mean that as to denominationalism. I don't mean that as to churches or people that scattered abroad preaching. I don't mean that kind of thing to them, because they are not. They're just a bunch of religious people. Maybe they are believers, but I'm speaking of real, genuine sons of God. Sons of God that are filled with the Spirit of God. They are the power and authority of this life and the world to come. All power and authority. For Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And when Jesus said that, that meant that I was in that position because I am bone of his bone and I am flesh of his flesh, and it's not me living but him that liveth within me. And the Bible said it's not the minister speaking but God speaking from within him. And the ministry has the power to bind your sins to you or to remit your sins. They have the power to curse you or to bless you. The church, the true church of the living God, has the power to turn you over to the devil, and the devil will literally destroy you. It's not like you've heard as to turn you over to the devil so he can destroy your flesh so your spirit can be saved in the day of judgment. That is a misunderstanding of that scripture. When people say that, I'm sure they're honest and sincere. But when it said turned him over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, that means that's the end of them. Like when Peter spoke to Ananias and Sapphira, and that was the end of them. It means turned him over to the devil that the devil might destroy them and the spirit be saved in the day of judgment, as to the spirit of the church. It be saved, not just in the day of judgment, but that the spirit might be saved in the body. I say this again, it's to cutting off a tree, patch up the hole, get rid of the bad limb so the tree can be saved. Because if it's a bad limb, after a while the parasites are going into the heart, kill the life of the tree, or the rot will get in there to deterioration, or the tree will bleed to death. So the church has power to turn a person over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. They can do this. Jesus did this. Jesus did this. Jesus, when he walked this earth, he said, I've chose 12 of you and one of you is a devil. He protected him. He let him go until his time. Like the cup was to be filled up to the brim concerning Egypt, And after that, God said, I will bring my people out of this bondage with a strong arm of deliverance. I'll send Moses, and he will bring them out, a deliverer in that day. See, but God allowed the Egyptians to be protected until the day of the fulfillment of their program and their part in life. And so then Jesus just went right along and let Judas obtain part of that ministry. He obtained part of that ministry, and then the Bible said he failed the transgression. And at the supper, Jesus turned him over to the devil. The devil couldn't get to the body to destroy it, but he turned him over to the devil when he gave him a sop and said, what thou doest, do quickly. And he went out into the darkness. And see, the ministry, the body of Christ, the true church, has the power to come together to turn you over to the devil. If you cause them trouble and you keep causing them reproaches and they keep getting problems out of your life and you keep getting in the way of God, you keep gossiping, you keep backbiting, you keep doing the arrogant things you do, you run into their programs, whether it's for the school or whether it's for the church or whatever the program might be in the sense of doing something for God, and they have the power to come together to turn you over that quick to the devil, and that will be it. Peter, all of a sudden, just turned those two over to the devil, just that quick, and they were killed like that. Ananias and Sapphira, because they got in the way of the program. They lied, they cheated, and they done wrong. And Peter, that quick, turned them over to the devil, and they were killed. Paul did the same thing to a man when he smote him blind for a season. He didn't destroy him, but just turned him over to where he'd be smitten blind. So, here it said, warn everybody. Warn them. Judgment begins at the house of God. Warn them, even to them that sit upon the throne of David. He said, I will make drunk. That is to say, the religious world. Because they won't listen and they won't honor me. Then he says, I will make them drunk. Today, the whole world is drunk off of the cares of life. They're drunken. I want you to notice this. He said, give glory to the Lord your God before he causes darkness. That is, honor God, give glory to God while you're reflecting the light, while the days of grace is here. While the light is coming down upon you as mercy, then search for God. Find God. Repent of your sins. Come to the Lord. Because just overnight, he can cause the light to go out and you'll be in total darkness and no one will be able to give you a light. No one will be able to direct you. And you'll be haughty and you'll be arrogant and you'll feel like everything is just right and that you're getting the best out of life and you will be just as blind as a bat. And you won't be able to see anything. For the Bible said, the wicked shall not see when good cometh. So you'll be turned over to a reprobate mind that you might believe a lie and be damned. So then the Lord says here, before darkness comes, you need to do something. Before I cause darkness to come, pray, Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How many of you know that God leads you into temptation? God leads you into temptation. The Bible says that the whore is a great ditch, and they that abhor the Lord shall fall therein. God leads you into temptation. But we pray, Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He prepares our heart, and the reason that he does that is because we have not a love for the truth. When we hear the truth, when we hear the preacher, when we hear the word of God, we don't love it. The preacher preaches. I preach to you ladies, dress like a lady. I preach to you men, dress like gentlemen, dress like Christians. I tell you to keep your conversation right. Don't bicker, don't backbite, don't gossip. Don't let your mind be filled with garbage and trash by listening to jokes and foolishness. The Bible said you're not to do that. They that are in line for wisdom, they shouldn't listen to foolishness and joke and go on with them kind of things. And you shouldn't gossip. You shouldn't backbite. You shouldn't do the things that are evil and ungodly. You shouldn't run out in the world and try to watch things that's not virtuous on the TV, or to read them out of the magazines or the newspaper, or try to keep up with the sports week and the things of the world? Are you not yet worldly when you do those things? Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, but I can't. He said, because you're yet worldly. You're yet carnal. He said, when you have strife among you, when you have envy among you, when you have all this reasoning among you, he said, are you not yet carnal? And to be carnally minded, isn't that death? Isn't that death? Because there is no spirit of life in the thoughts of carnality. The spirit of life are in the thoughts of righteousness. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. For that is my word. When you hear the word of faith, it comes by the hearing. Faith by the hearing. And when you hear the word of faith, when that word comes to you, those thoughts come to you. How beautiful are those thoughts? Because they transformate your thinking into life. And that is life eternal. But if you don't honor them, if you don't obey them, if you don't do what they say, then you don't have life. Because it is by his word that he heals the nations. It is by his word that he delivers. That's why he says here to the prophet, he said, warn the kings. Take them my word, thus saith the Lord. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. He said concerning the book of Revelation, if any man add to this, I'll add the plagues of this book unto him. And if he take away from this, then I'll take his part out of the book of life. That's why the world is so sick right now. They're so religious. As long as they were out in the world and they didn't mess with the things of religion, they were all right. God didn't bother them. But when they started to learn about the word of God, when they started to learn about the right way, and then they didn't want to go the right way, and then they didn't love the truth, then God turned them over to reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned, and they got nothing but diseases and problems, troubles in the home and everything else, from backbiting, bickering, doing all kinds of things, fault-finding, evil surmising in their minds. All of these things are corruption. Jesus said, out of the heart come forth evil thoughts of adultery and fornication, lying and cheating, and all these kind of things. They defile a man. For as a man thinketh in his heart, as his thoughts are in his heart, so that's the kind of person he is. As his thoughts is in his heart. I know you got a brain, you feel impulses, things come from the outside. I say this a lot of times. They come from the outside everywhere. You feel all kind of things on your mind, on your nerve senses. It'll project all kind of thought. It'll overshadow you. And Paul said, when you would do good, evil is present with you. Because there's no good thing in the flesh, and the flesh hasn't been changed as of yet. Though it's been redeemed in the eyes of God. Now, but when these thoughts that come from the heart, when they are wrong, then you're wrong. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So we can see that God sends his word. His word, his thoughts, he sends his word. He sends his thoughts. And he sends these things to heal you. He sends these things to deliver you. The Bible said, and he sent his word and healed. All you have to do is speak a word, just the word, thus saith the Lord. All you have to do is speak a word. And if that person will believe it, then they receive whatever the reward of the word is. As to the promise, so is the benefit. If they believe it, he sent his word. When he sent Jesus, he sent his word. Because the word came forth, was made a human body, made flesh, God made a human being. And the word, God, the great spirit of eternal life, dwelt among us. And we beheld it as the Son of God. The word came and walked the shores of Galilee and healed. The word came forth and healed the people. And the word is the same yesterday, today, and forever to 1,000 generations. We've got the word today. When they preached, the early apostolic preachers, the Bible said, and the Spirit of God was present. Or it said the power of God was present to heal. A word. Jesus said to the disciples, you go heal the sick. He didn't say, I'll come and heal the sick. He said, you go heal the sick. You heal the sick. That's what he told them. You heal the sick. When the Bible speaks of the gift of healing, it said, and some had the gift of healing. When it spoke of the gift of miracles, it said, and some had the gift of miracles. God said, you go do it. Because he has given us the power and authority to remit sins or to retain sins. And he said to the ministry, whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted, and whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind it in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, it'll be the same way in heaven. Whatever you do, we're working together, he said. Whatever you do, Jesus said, I do always the things that I see my Father do. So he said, you go heal the sick. How could he say, you go heal the sick? Because he said, I give unto you power. I give unto you power over all of the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And whatever you bind on earth, whatever you loose on earth, you go do it. You go do it. So then we find out that because somebody says, well, Brother Pike, I just can't believe that. Well, that's why you don't do it. It's because you don't believe it. Because it's believing what he said, that's where faith comes. Enoch escaped death by believing what God said. God said it, Enoch believed it, he never wrestled with it. He believed it and he escaped death. God sends his word of spirit and of life, and I believe it. I believe it. You know, a lot of times, the devil, he'll throw things at you and he'll do everything he can to trample down the mind of humanity. Or to do whatever he can to keep you from the mind of Christ, the mind of faith. Because he knows that you're going to get the benefits of God, the fullness of health, the fullness of blessings, naturally, physically, spiritually. And you're going to be a powerhouse for God. And you're going to be a light throughout the world. He knows that. So he does everything he can to stop you, to hinder you, to keep you natural and thinking natural and keep you from being spiritual. That's why Paul said, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. I'm seeking to know him in the power of his resurrection, Paul said. So I've got to conform to his death, and I've got to know him in the suffering. For we are preordained unto suffering, he said. Equip your minds, ourselves with a mind to suffer. That is, as long as we're in this flesh, we are killing the flesh, we are crucifying the flesh, we're putting the flesh down, we're not going to think highly of the flesh, we're not going to listen to our own thoughts, we're going to kill out every thought. I find myself sometimes when I go before God, I want to say things to God, lovely things, beautiful things to God. And I go before God, and about the time you go to think or say, Satan is right there. Like the Bible said, standing at the right hand of Joshua to resist him, whatever he wanted to do. Paul said, when I would do good, I find that evil is present with me. So we find a conflict, a war, a continual war between the body and the spirit. It's warring. Satan is working through the senses of the human flesh, and he's throwing every kind of thought and every kind of thing. He's bombarding, and God is working through the soul of the inner man while Satan works through the outer man. And God is stopping everything. The barrage. See, God is fortifying. He's putting up a fortification to stop that. He sealed you within your spirit that no evil thing can touch you. For the Bible said, he that is born of God, he keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. So we're not trying to get holy. And we're not trying to get good. There's none good but God. There's no good thing within the flesh. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Like a man was telling me yesterday, he said, well, he looked over at a man. And he said, called his name, old brother, whatever. He said, he's really faithful to you, isn't he? Really stands by you. I said, no. And I know it shocked him. I said, I don't know of anybody that's faithful that stands by me. And that, I know it shocked him. And he said, I guess you're the only one that's faithful. I said, no. I said, I don't know but one that's faithful, that's Jesus. Jesus said, there's none good but God. I've never found anybody faithful but Jesus. I have found a measure of Jesus within different people. From that comes a measure of loyalty. But beyond that, there is no loyalty. Neither of me nor any other individual in the world. They'll promise you, as the old saying goes, they'll promise you everything and won't give you nothing. They won't stand by you. They'll let you down if you lean on the arm of flesh. Cursed is the man that leaneth upon the arm of the flesh or goeth down to Egypt for his help. There's only one faithful, that's Jesus. So then we find that we want to lift up Jesus. We want to magnify Jesus. But We do have power from God. We do have ability from God. We have all of these things. We are sealed on the inside to where the devil can't touch us. So we're not trying to be holy. We're not trying to be good. Not in the sense of our strength. We are sealed by righteousness. We are sealed by holiness. We are made to be Christ in God. For the Bible said, he that knew no sin was made our sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. I am today the righteousness of God, not being found, as the Bible said, with my own righteousness, as he said to the Pharisees. I must have another righteousness that excels the righteousness of self-righteousness, of fasting and praying and doing those kind of things. For he said, the Pharisees did that, but of God righteousness, which is the righteousness of Jesus, because there's none good but God. So then, everyone will let you down. Your wife will let you down. Your son will let you down. Your daughter will let you down. Your father will let you down. Your neighbor will let you down. The preacher will let you down. The deacon will let you down. Everybody will let you down. The president, the statesman, all of the creditors, everybody will. Husband will let you down. Wife will let you down. All those people, they'll let you down. See, it's like an undertaker said one time to my father-in-law. He said, I'll be the last one to let you down. They will let you down. And though he meant down in the ground, a lot of people you trust in, they'll let you down. It's a spiritual letdown. And you'll just be tore up because of it. So then they will let you down. Just like the undertaker lowers your body in the ground, these people will let you down. And they'll flatter you, and they'll do all kinds of things and build around you. And you'll think they're the greatest friend that you ever had and the most blessed person in the world. And they don't mean none of it, not any of it. They're going to let you down. All they're doing is they admire something in your life that you've got, and they'd like to get it. They don't care what happens to you if they could just get it. Like the Bible said concerning men that have money, they have lots of friends. When men have money, they have lots of friends. They have lawyer friends, they have judge friends, they have police friends. They just have lots of friends. Our religious friends, all kind of friends. But when you lose your money, you don't have much. That's why Jesus came in a manger. The Bible said, Solomon spoke of humbling thyself. Make sure thy friends. That is, be without anything. And see who will help you when you don't have anything. See who will stand by you when you don't have anything. And those are your friends. And then, when you come into power and wealth, remember those people. That's what Jesus did. He came in a manger. He came as a pauper. He came so that he could find out his friends, to humble himself, to come in a manger, to make sure his friends. And he's picking them out. He's picking them out. Right now, he's in the manger. Right now, in the minds of the people, Jesus is nothing. The world is everything. But there's some people that believe that Jesus is everything, and they're going after him, and these are his friends. God loved Abraham. He said, Abraham, thou art my friend. God looks for a friend. He said, thou art my friend, Abraham. I won't hide anything from thee because thou art my friend. You know, the songwriter said, I'll be a friend to Jesus. You know, this is what I want to do. I want to be a friend to the Lord Jesus. So then we have the power to smite. We have the power to bind up. We have the power to wound. We have the power that God has given us. We, as the body of Christ, have the power to completely take the world. I know you would think, well, Brother Pike, why don't we do it? Well, because the weapon of our warfare is not carnal. But yet the Bible said it's mighty through the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of imagination, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Since it is a battle of the minds, and not a battle of the flesh, in that we're not warring against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers. Those that are in the high places of spiritual wickedness, in high places, ruling places, places that you can't get to in the spirit. Satan, the prince of the powers of the air. So then, in that it's a mind and a contest of minds, then what we're doing, we're letting the mind of Christ verse the mind of Lucifer. And the mind of Lucifer is the old tree of knowledge. It was that that comes through the beast. It still works through the outer part. As to the beast today, it's very intellectual. It's very self-will. It's going to have its way. It's not going to sacrifice within because it's not going to swear to its own hurt. But the Bible tells you and I to swear to our own hurt and change not. Stay with that.
And it takes something to deny the flesh and swear to your own hurt and esteem others better than yourself and seek the welfare of others rather than seeking after something for yourself. See, you seek the welfare of others and God just heaps, pours the blessing out upon you. All right, so then we do have power and we are sealed on the inside. We're not trying to be righteous. We are already righteous, eternally righteous, without a spot, without a mistake, without a blemish, because we are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But there's one thing that we're trying to do, and that is to root out all of the infiltration that is in the outer being, in that Paul said, there is no good thing within my flesh. We're trying to root out all of that that's interwoven with the flesh as to human intelligence, human reasoning, even to the extent that we won't lean to our own understanding, not one thought, but we'll cast down the imagination and bring every thought into the obedience as to captivity to the Lord Jesus, his mind. So then we are moving out the infiltration, and by this we, of course, are trying to be holy and to be righteous, in that he said, be holy even as I'm holy. That is, I've made you holy as to the inner man, and I've secured you and I've sealed you, and there's no way that you can be destroyed. You know, you pass from death unto life, you're equal to the angels. You cannot die. Satan cannot destroy you. He cannot touch you. Your wealth is for sure. Your inheritance is for sure. You're forever. See, nothing can hurt you. Don't worry about that. But he did say that we can get so engrossed in the things of the world, get in such bondage to the beggarly elements of the world as to the weakness of the flesh by not praying, but not resisting the devil, by not keeping our minds spiritual, by not keeping our conversation in heaven, by not meditating in the things of God day and night. We can get in such a bondage to the world until we won't be fit for nothing for God. We'll get in just as if a fire, the Bible said, all of our works are burned. See, works are manifested by the body. And the mind of God seeks to do works through your body while you're living. But see, if you just stumble and stagger, though God has sealed you on the inside and you won't really get down to business, you're like a person that's weak. You know, they don't have the right kind of health. They don't have the right kind of strength. They would love to do many things, but they don't do it. So see, we yield our body to God. For our bodies are the temples of God. And God doesn't want to hurt our body. God doesn't want to destroy our body. See, the devil, he blinds us and he'll say, yeah, you see, God don't want you to eat. God don't want you to drink. God don't want you to enjoy yourself. That's the way he is. He just wants to kill you. That's what he wants to do. But that isn't what it is. When the doctor starts putting the knife in you, he doesn't want to kill you. If he's the right kind of physician, he's trying to get the defective part out of you, to get the infiltration out of you, to get the infection out of you so you can be whole and have life. He's there to try to help you. You understand what I'm saying? He's not trying to give you poison to kill you. Sad to say, it's a sad situation of today, but I'm speaking of that that's supposed to be. All right, so then, I as an individual, I'm trying to perfect my ways before God, to go on to perfection, not to lay the foundation over and over, which is repentance, which is dead works, but I want living works. I want to bring some fruit forth to perfection. Be ye therefore perfect, even my Father in heaven is perfect, to go on to a full reward. I want to perfect life in God and go on to the fullness of God. So I'm working with my body, Paul said, to keep under it, to put a bridle on it, to bring it into subjection, so that I might have the benefits of God, to be holy in body, in spirit, and in soul. Because Paul said, I want to present you blameless, body, soul, and spirit. He cannot do that unless you are willing to conform to the word of God as to a full reward. Now, I can be there blameless as to my inner man, and God can bless me with that as to the things of God, but my body's stumbling and staggering, and I get in just as if a fire, that is to say, all of my works burn as to what my body could have done by the power and might of the inner man. As to submission, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And I get in, and God gives me eternal life. The Bible said everyone that went into the vineyard was given a penny. Ones that went in early, the ones that went in late, he gave them a penny, which indicates eternal life. Now, but the works, every man shall be rewarded according to his works. That means every man ain't going to sit on the throne. The disciples said, and what will we have? We forsook all. We put some works in this thing. He said, in that you've done what I've done with your works. I've made it possible so that when I sit upon my throne, you shall also sit upon 12 thrones beside me, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And then the Bible speaks of the new earth. I've reminded you of it many times, where there'll be kings in the new earth. I don't know, over 10 cities, 5 cities, whatever. And they will come into the city by day, because there is no night there. And they'll come into the city by day, and they'll throw their crowns down, as the 24 kings around the throne throws their crowns down to let him know that he's Lord of lords and King of kings. There's going to be great people. All right, so you have power, and God is wanting to present you, as Paul said, the ministry is that is, I'm wanting to present you blameless in your body. I want you to come away from the things of the world. Leave off with that stuff in the world. Don't let the devil eat you up. Don't let the devil take your youth. And especially you youth, let the devil take your mind and all these other things with dope and the powers of those things that are bewildering, that brings you down to a freak and cause your little babies to be born blind and as imbeciles and all kinds of things. I want you to come away from that. I want you to get away from your carnal mind of reasoning so that you don't shorten your days by your disobedience. I'm trying to work with you to perfect holiness unto God in your body, that you might be in complete subjection and surrender to God. Not a 30-fold, but to a full reward, as to body, soul, and spirit. And Paul said, I want to present you that way. I want to present you that way to God. I want to bring forth a people like that. Now, someone would say, well, Brother Pike, what do you think? What do you think is going to happen in the event that somebody gets like that? They're going to be translated. Translation is coming in the body. See, they'll be translated. It comes in the body. You've got to perfect the body. We're already translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. So far as our inner man, we're already forever. We're already eternal. We're already sealed. The devil can't touch us. Not a spot, not a wrinkle, not a blemish. See, but as to the outer man, Enoch was translated by faith. His body transfigured and went away. Jesus perfected this in his body. And when he perfected it in his body, he just called Peter, James, and John, went upon a mountain and showed them how it worked. That is, he was saying to them, brethren, look, you got to live this way. I'm your example, following my step. No guile in my mouth, no sin in my life. Now follow me. So you do this. Now I've done set the course. I've done finished the course. Everything's just fine. Jesus was there. Like Paul said, he finished his course. He had a crown after that. See, so Jesus, he walked this way. He finished the course, done everything that was necessary. Now he said, it's all ready, now it's finished. Now, the way in the holies of holies is made, which means into the Spirit. Now, watch me, he said. And off he went. He walked right into the presence of God where Moses and Elijah was. And these men's eyes come open to see that world. And there he had Peter, James, and John for the purpose of showing Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. And Peter, representing Jesus, having the keys to the kingdom, and James and John, representing Moses and Elijah. That's why they asked the mother, could they set one on the right hand and one on the left? Called them the sons of thunder. In the earth, they were symbolic of this. They were powerful men. Jesus would take these men, run the others out, because these men stayed right with him. They believed. All right. So then Jesus finished the course, and you and I have got to finish the course. It's not finished until you die. When you die, you finished your course. If you didn't, you know, if you drop out, if you didn't go very far in school, that's it, you know. But if you walk with God and go with God and finish this course, then you can walk like Enoch right on into glory. It's going to translate the church world. That is, the true church is going to translate it. They're coming into a message, and the message is going to perfect their bodies, and they're going to be translated. But let me tell you something. Jesus is filtering. He's sifting out. Like I told somebody yesterday down here around the house. I said, brethren, I've got men that are disobedient. I was down there working, cleaning up the tubes, had them open. My little ones was working with me. Some of the tubes are dangerous because they're strong, coming back together like a clamp. And I had everything just right. We was working along real good. The little one's mind was subjected to me. We just move as one, just one being there. I scold them a little bit if they get out of tune. Everything was just fine. Getting over the Jordan, over that old intellectual interruption. Now here comes somebody to help us. Having a mind of their own, while I was right here in the middle of the tube trying to do what I was to do, knowing the danger of it, I didn't warn the little ones. Somebody got down at the end of the tube and started messing with it. And here it come, and down with the stick, and the splinter went through the edge of my finger, slapped through. Drove it through. Well, I said that to say this. It's fine, no problem. But I said that to say this. I told some of the brethren standing down there. I said, I got men, they've got a mind of their own. They're not going to submit to me. They're not going to subject themselves to me, nor anyone else. Somebody said, bless God, I don't have to. There ain't no other way to help. The Bible said to submit yourselves one to another. You can't even get to heaven unless you submit yourself one to another. You're not going to do it. You are not going to do it. There's people that are not going to do it. That's it. They're not going to do it. See, but the thing is, it's like I told them down there. I said, watch these men that are doing it. I said, God is sifting. He gives these natural things. And he's trying to coordinate their mind, move their desire to a oneness, to get them to be a brotherhood, to see if he can get them in there. For the Bible said, if you're not faithful over the unrighteous mammon, who shall commit to your trust the true riches? So he's trying to get them in there. He's sifting all the time. And all these interruptions, all these ones that don't want to work, all these that's got excuses, all these that's got a line in the street, all these that don't want to get with us, that don't want to be with the brothers and the sisters when they see them in need to work with them and help them and to share, all of these people, he's sifting them, he's dropping them out. They think they're smart. They think they're intelligent. They think they're the superstar, you know, to the extent that they've got it all figured out. And while the others are enslaved by the pike and the ministry and these kind of things, we're smart. We're just going to ease right along and slip right in, you know, and we're going to be part of this thing, and God's going to take us in because we know what he's doing, you know. But let me tell you, folks, it ain't like that at all. God is working something with the brothers and the sisters. Like last night, I had another vision. And in this vision, I saw two men, two of our leading men here, two of our governors. I saw them going down the road. They had me in the car with them. And they were going to pull off of the main road to pull down into a little place. And it was kind of boggy. And I thought, my, it seemed like they'd have more reasoning about them than that. And they were going to pull down in there. And I said something. I said, you know, you'll get stuck down here, messing around down here. No, I didn't pay no attention. They're going to do their thing. So they dipped off down there and went around and started back. And when they started back, they got bogged down. I told them, I said, you'll get bogged down here. And then I looked. There was a stream running by. And the man or two standing over here, and they began to scream out, the dam's broke. And looked, and the water was coming to flood. And it was strange because it looked like all of a sudden, coming down the stream, it turned into like a superhighway and cars going by. So I'm not too sure as to what it meant, but I've got an idea. But these men bogged it down. I thought, oh my. So the next thing I know, we got out and we were walking and went up to this certain place. I thought, now this thing called East Street. It's right up here. We're right at the end of it. And sure enough, we walked up there to it. As a matter of fact, folks, in this vision was the same vision where that man that lived on the campground was seen his place there where he was so horrible. But anyway, coming on up, all of a sudden we started past the corner where there was a service station. And one passed the keys, had a bunch of keys, passed the keys to the other. Or whatever it was, both of them kind of chuckled a little bit and throwed the keys to me. I thought, now what is this? And I thought, I know they're expecting me to pay the record bill. They want me to take the record and pull the car out, and I'm the one that's going to catch the flack on this end of it, you know. And it's just a chuckling going off, you know. Now, that's the way it is, folks. That's the way it is. They'll do all kind of things, including my governors here. And they do that to God. At the least, they do it to God. They do that thing, and they bog me down. They get me. I'm not in the bog, but I have to carry the load of the bog. See, and they do that over and over. They reproach me. They cause me problems. They wreck things. They spend thousands of dollars that's unnecessary. And they just won't work with me at all. That's bad, isn't it? That's bad. But God doesn't like it. If God does condone it and God does care for it, why then would he show me the visions while I'm praying and seeking God? I appreciate the ones that stayed out there with the tubes. Tony was gone. He stayed out there a couple of nights. And he was gone, and so Rick, he took it from about 3 o'clock this morning. I was checking about too long, just before 3, and I felt it was time for Rick to come on. And I checked again about 4:30, about 3:30, a little closer to 4, and Rick had come on. And he took it through the morning. Jonathan Kirk and Brother Steve Nunez had taken it in the early part of the night. I don't know who else was there. I think Adam Lundable was there for at least a while, because I checked maybe 4 or 5, about 6 times, I guess, last night, in different times they were there. And I thank God for these men that will stand with me and help me, even through the night, tired, weary. But see, it has to be done. Heat has to be put out there. Somebody has to watch it. And over in the top, the pillars drop 6 and 7 inches. And somebody all night long has to build that pillar up to make sure that we have the right level mark. It's a major operation to pull pillars like that. Now, I thank God for these men, because they can wreck, they can ruin, they can neglect just a little bit, and they can just literally wreck things. But you people that come around, just kind of dilly-dallying around, like I had one that climbed up on the scaffold. The man don't have a mind to work. He doesn't care about work. He don't want to work. Every time he comes around, he's got a line in the street. Always talking about, you know, there's something he's got to do, someplace he's got to go. He can't do this. And by the time this pillar was pretty near finished, he's cunning and crafty, and he figured out this is about over. And if I'm going to get in on this thing and look good, I'm going to have to use my carnal reasoning and make it look like I'm really interested and jump in here the last little bit, you know. Now, I won't do nothing, but at least I'll be part of it, and they'll think I'm right there with them. And I was standing off watching it. He didn't know that. And I was talking to some of the brethren. And I said, brother ought not to be up there. And I told him the kind of person he was. I said, and that's a spirit. And I said, it can cause problems. And just as I said, that's a spirit, down went a bucket. Down it went like that. And almost got one of them. And wasn't but a little bit, another one almost got away. And I sent, moved him off the scaffold. You understand what I'm saying? Cunning, crafty. Some of you are cunning and crafty as a fox. Jesus said, go tell that fox. You're cunning, you're crafty, you run over every once in a while. You come in for just a little bit, or you're slipping among the sisters or the brothers or whatever, you know, to make it look like you're doing something. When you know you're wretched, and you know you're blind, and you know you're naked of the things of God, and you know that you're trying to pull a little gimmick. But it isn't going to work in the day of judgment. But folks, I tell you what will work. When you sisters and brothers get a good, holy, godly heart of real sincerity, and you want to help, and you want to do something, you're not trying to look good for nobody, and you're not doing anything out for vain glory to get the admiration of man, or strive so that you can prove your point that you're super and he's not. You know, as they call it, the superstar in the world. But you just want to serve God, and you want to help. And you're not going to run at it. You're not going to be foolish. You're going to try to use the wisdom that you can and be safe and protect others. That will work. That will work. All right. Now, somebody said, well, I think we've heard enough. Not quite. Still a little more. All right. So then, you may have that cunning, crafty mind to come to church. Stay a little while, and then you want to go and lose interest and don't want nothing, not hungering and thirsting after the things of God. You may have that mind to ease down to men's meeting, and just before anything really comes about, you're so sick you can't study. You ride all day. You go everywhere all the time. But when you get there, you're just so weary. A couple of hours for the men's meeting, you're just so weary, just so you can't stand it. It really done me good the other night to see Richard come down and just stay there through the whole thing. He was kind of drug out. Stay there because the boy's really been in pain and misery. And I got some that they're just so sick. They've got so much problem. They're so sick. They just got to go home and get into bed. And sometimes they don't come at all. But the only thing is, the next morning they're just so wide awake to do their thing. And by evening, when it comes time for the services and time for their soul, wore out. Let's give a Lord. That's the condition of the world today. That's why God told the prophet to warn them. Warn them before darkness comes and death comes. I'm warning you. Because your intellectual reasoning is going to close in on you. It's going to close in on you. God's going to turn you over to a reprobate mind because you don't want to do right. You don't love the truth. You won't get in. I don't care what I say. You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it.
See, so
before darkness takes you, that is before you go into a condition of ignorance and can't find your way out, you better do something. While a little light is coming and you're reflecting that light and the grace is on you right now, run for your life and do something. Because the darkness is coming. Gross darkness shall cover the people. And as sure as you live, this is the hour for it. Gross darkness is going to get hold of you. It's like the man that come the other night that ministered for us. He had read this little article about the third pool and the ladies in the long dresses. He's an intelligent person. And he couldn't help but think. I could tell from his spirit. He couldn't help but think. Brother Branham's followers are the bride. They're supposed to be following Brother Branham. They're supposed to be these people. But why is it that Brother Branham spoke about the third pool and the ladies in the long dresses? And that beyond the veil. Why did he do that? Then he remembered. He doesn't see the long dresses among Brother Branham's followers. He doesn't see them there. I'm sure there must be some that's got a conviction. You know, because we've had some that from Brother Branham following that's come into this, even in different places. Don't come here. And they try to do these things. But see, it's the going on. Brother Branham was speaking for Christ. And Christ had that mini move. It was to bring people into the fullness of this maxi thing. It's the garments of God. Into the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man. That there be a translation. Because there can't be a translation unless you come to the full measure in the body. There's no translation. Saints, remember, you're sitting around thinking that God is going to come and pick you up and translate the church and take it out of here. You know, that's what's in your mind. But the bride is going to be that that becomes the word in their body, one with him. And that's what's going to translate them, just like Enoch and just like he was transfigured on the mountain. You're not going to go otherwise. So then, this fullness, he realized that it wasn't over there. And yet the coming of the Lord was nigh at hand because he sees all of these things happening, nationally and internationally. So he knows there's something missing. Where are those people? I'm glad to say they're at Bethlehem. They're at Bethlehem. Somebody says, I don't believe it. Well, look around. Look around. Jesus said, if you can't believe for no other reason, believe for the work's sake. They're sitting all around you. They got the long dresses on. Oh, somebody said, that bunch of hypocrites? No, I'm talking about that bunch of saints. That's to say nothing about the hypocrite that was doing all the criticizing. Let's stand together and sing a song, can we? Let's sing a little chorus together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. For my rest is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. And I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. I need thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need thee. The altars are open. So don't turn him
away. So don't turn him away, for he has come back to your heart once again. So let him in just to stay. For oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. So come to the Savior and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. The altar's open if you'd like to come to the altar. I want to say again, I appreciate John Clyde coming to be with us this morning. Glad to have my daughter Gracie, my little granddaughter Suzanne. She's a big girl now. And my little granddaughters, and little David Paul. Appreciate my relatives coming, my friends coming, my loved ones coming. I was appreciate so much Brother Owens and my sister. And my sister Eloise and their family. I appreciate them so much coming to the house of God. I appreciate all of you. All of you. I appreciate your family coming to visit with us from different places. They're precious to you. I'm sorry that Brother Gerald's sister got killed. I'm real sorry. Loved ones are passing away. Like Brother Lefebvre used to sing, loved ones are passing away one by one. They're passing away. Can we sing this song? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Oh, at the cross where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, now I am happy all the day. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. For I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear. It was grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. It was the hour that I first believed,
And when this battle is over, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. Oh, when this battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear the bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. Sing it again. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear the bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. Can you give him a hand? While we're standing here, let's bow our heads together. Appreciate you. And really appreciate those who labor in the gospel. The Bible said, give an honor to all men, women, whatever, especially to whom honor is due. Custom to whom custom is due. Where's a lot of customs? Jesus' custom was to be in the house of God every Sabbath. Give custom to whom custom is due. But give double honor. Double honor. That shows you what God thinks about labors. Isn't that beautiful? Honor the brotherhood, he said. Honor the brotherhood. Great. We should honor the brotherhood. But he said, give double honor. Double honor. Double honor to them that labor in the gospel. Them that are willing to make a sacrifice, God thinks them worthy of double honor. He's got something beautiful for them that labor in the gospel. Don't waste your life, precious friend. Don't waste your life. You've got a life to live. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy strength, in the days of thy youth, when the evil days of reaping draw not nigh, when you'll say, I wasted my substance like the prodigal. See, remember the Creator in the days of thy youth before the evil days of reaping come, wherein you've sown the wrong thing, and then you reap heartaches and sorrow and misery and sickness and all these other things. Remember, give your strength to God, give your bodies to God. Glorify God in your bodies, for your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. God dwells in you. He talks in you. He loves you. He wants to use you. Everyone, someone would say, well, I don't know, Brother Pike. Yes, he wants to use you. Someone would say, well, I can't prosper, Brother Pike, enough to be used. It's because you're covering your sins. The scriptures can't be broken. They're not altered. They're not changed. The Bible said, he that confesseth his sins and forsaketh his sins, whatever he does will prosper. But the Bible said if a man cover his sins, he won't prosper at all. He will never have nothing but problems and sickness and everything. So then, let's give our bodies to God. Let's, body, soul, and spirit. Let's, 100-fold. Let's have 100-fold. Don't forget you're forever. You're forever. You're forever. Don't forget that. Whatever you do is going to be eternally, because you're forever. If you make a mistake, it's forever. That is a mistake as to a loss of something you could have gained, it's wasted, it's gone, past this lifetime, you'll never get it back. And that's an eternal loss. It's forever. What you do as to gain things, lay up treasures in heaven, it's forever. It's forever. So do what you can, folks. All right. I think I'll ask Brother Morris Allen to come up, if you will. While Brother Morris prays with you. Well, you don't have anything to do. I ask you so often, pray for me. Pray that God will help me. I need your prayers. Pray that God will bless me and strengthen me. I have a big bridge to cross. And only Christ Jesus can do it. I'm not capable of doing it. Only Him. But through Christ that strengthens me, I can do all things.